Welcome to the podcast of the First Presbyterian Church of Englewood, a community committed to live boldly, share boundlessly, grow community, and build God's world. Please visit us in person or at englewoodpres.org.
Well, friends, our second lesson today is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than any sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, one of the jobs I never had was working in a restaurant. So I've never actually done that, but I had lots of friends who did. And I don't know if you've had friends who worked in restaurants and before you go, you talk to them and you say, boy, you know, what should I have? You know, what should I eat? And sometimes you will talk to them and say, well, you know, I was thinking about ordering this. It sounds really good. And they look at you and go, no. And you'll be like, what's the matter? And you'll be like, well, it tastes good, but I've seen them make it, and I won't eat it. There are things that are like that in life, things that look perfectly good to the outside world, and maybe they taste good, but if you know it as an insider, maybe, just maybe, it's a different perspective on it. Now, Jesus, when he's talking to people, when he gives his instructions, one of the things to pay attention to always, we mention this a lot, is remember, who is he talking to? Is he talking to insiders or is he talking to outsiders at that particular moment? And the passage that we have today is from a chapter where the entire chapter is Jesus talking very privately. In fact, the very first verse of the 10th chapter that we're in, he says, then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease. And so he summons his inner circle, and he says, you have all this wonderful authority. You can go out and do these great things. But you see, they don't understand that it's going to be harder than they think. You see, up to this point, you see various things in the Gospels. You see Jesus do these tremendous healing miracles. So he goes around and he gets to heal people, and there he is. He's awesome. They love him. And then he feeds the 5,000, and then they love him some more. In fact, you know, they just think he's the greatest. But he's warning his disciples that it's not always going to be that easy. See, from their perspective, Jesus is just a rock star. He goes around, he does these great things, and they love him, and he feeds the 5,000, and as far as the 5,000 are concerned, they get fed, and then they're just like, hey, Jesus, that was awesome. Now what's for dinner? And the disciples can fall into the trap of believing that that's what the life is going to be like. But he's warning them in this chapter. He says, no, you have to be careful. I'm going to be attacked. And not only am I going to be attacked, but because you are my followers, you are going to be attacked as well. And he warns them. He says, look, if they call me Beelzebul, if they call me the devil, how much more will they malign those of his household? How much more will they malign you as my inner circle? So you think it's going to be bad for me? They're going to come after you with the same or even greater ferocity. And so he's giving his disciples that kind of warning. And so he says that at the end of the day, you have to be prepared for this. And this kind of discord, this kind of division is all right. In fact, he says, I have come to set a person against their father, a daughter against their mother. All right, and he says these things, and this is one of the toughest verses that you deal with in Scripture. It's a really difficult verse when you read this, especially because when he says, for I have come to do this. Understand, by the way, that that doesn't mean that he came for the purpose of causing this division, of causing this rancor, but it does mean that he has come with this result. He has come with the full knowledge that the result of his coming, the result of his teaching, the result of people following him is going to be that even the closest relationships we have are going to be strained. That there is going to be division even within our households. And you need to expect it, and you need to be ready to deal with it. You see, one of the things that happens to Christians is that we're expected to not be people who engage in conflict. And this is a little bit unfortunate. In fact, I think it's a bum rap. It's one of my pet peeves, actually. This notion that somehow, because you're a Christian, that you're always supposed to be nice. All right? Makes me a little crazy. All right? You see, we're supposed to be about something more important than just getting along. Because when we just choose to get along, we are trapped, we are beholden to everything and everyone around us, no matter how wrong it is. And as Christians, we are supposed to be standing up for what is right. We are supposed to be standing up for what is true. And so the problem is that being nice can lead to people who don't challenge what must be challenged. See, when you challenge what must be challenged, you're going to create some rancor. But sometimes this is a necessary thing. For example, you're at dinner and someone makes a racist remark. What do you do? Nice is you just sit there and let it pass. But is that really what we're supposed to do? Is the Jesus who flipped over the tables of the money changers in the temple telling us that that is how you would react to that situation? Or do you speak up? Do you say something? Do you say, I'm sorry? But that's not acceptable to me. I'm sorry, but I will not sit and listen to that. Because my faith demands something higher. My faith demands something better. There are a lot of things out there that we must challenge. And when we do, and when we do it on the basis of faith, expect to hear someone say, but I thought you were Christian, and that wasn't very nice. But you know, nice isn't the opposite of mean. Nice is often the opposite of truthful. Because very often in our lives, we are called to speak truth to persons who would rather not hear it. And it happens on a macro level, it happens on a micro level. All right. So many times there are important truths that we need to say to someone. And it will come at the risk of the relationship. It will come at the risk of being perceived as being mean or not nice. But it's necessary that we take a stand. And when we do that, then we become closer in touch with who it is that we are and what it is that we really stand for and what it is that we're supposed to do. I mean, Jesus says in this passage that those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Sometimes in that day, he was talking about literally losing your life. And yes, there are parts of the world in which that is a very present possibility, that you might actually lose your life standing up for the gospel. In northern New Jersey, less likely. But very likely, you might lose a friend. Lose someone you thought was a friend. Because you said, I'm sorry, but that kind of language, that kind of attitude toward persons of whatever, you pick your battle, isn't acceptable to me. I won't have people talk about people God loves that way. You might lose a friend. You might be labeled as, you know, it's gotten to the point where people are using the term social justice warrior as an insult. And I think it's a badge of honor, because we fight for justice in this world. We fight for what's right in this world. We stand up for the things that God wants us to stand up for. And when we do this, we become our fullest selves. When we do this, we become closer to the people God wanted us to be. We become in touch with what is right, with what is wrong, with what is loving, with what is not. We stop being people who paper over important things just to avoid the appearance of conflict. See, faith calls us to give voice to uncomfortable truths. There are a lot of things in any of our lives. There are a lot of things, right? I can probably think of 100 things about me that are true that I don't want you to tell me. Right? That's the reality. I think that's the reality of all of our lives. Maybe for you it's less than 100, I hope. But the reality of all of our lives is that there's a list of things about you that is true that you don't want someone to tell you. And yet, it wouldn't be a bad thing. There are a lot of things in this world, a lot of things in our society, that the people around us don't want to hear. But as persons of faith, they need to hear it. And they need to hear it from persons of faith. And they need to hear it on the basis of our faith, that this is what's right. And this is what's true. And this is what's loving. So sometimes, just as Jesus did, Jesus made people so uncomfortable that they killed him. Sometimes we're called to bring a little discomfort into the lives of people we care about. Not because we don't care about them, but because we do. And that's what it is to live a life of faith. To trust that being faithful to God's vision for the world and God's vision for your life is more important than maintaining a facade of peaceful relationship. So be willing to go out and speak truth. Be willing to go out and hear truth. Because that's how we individually and together get closer to what God would have us be. Amen.